Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
Here comes the opportunity.
Oh, wow!
Just goes outside of the net.
Wow.
Moore working around.
And
goal! Canada!
Tavares! No, Cody Eakin, I'm sorry.
Cody Eakin leaves it off for Tyler Ennis.
Oh.
Tyler.
Oh, yeah!
Tyler Ennis.
Wrap around.
Woo! He's not going to sign for this.
Oh, Giroux.
Canada.
Oh. Next pass, goal!
Canada.
What a goal.
Seguin.
What a play.
Tyler Seguin.
Oh. What a save by Bobrovsky.
Woo! On Seguin.
Oh, what a play.
No. Claude Giroux! Claude Giroux! Here comes Canada once again.
Oh, goal! McKinnon!
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
I love hearing those calls, man. So great. Sal Capaccio with you, 9:08 on your Thursday morning, June 24th. Good morning to you. Brayton Wilson hanging out as well. Jeremy's playing 100 holes of golf for charity today. Howard's off. So you're stuck with us. But you know what? I reached out to our good buddy, Instigators host. You'll hear him next hour, Craig Reve. And the reason is because I am super jacked for tonight in Montreal. And I think I'm kind of nostalgic like that for sports. It's why we've been talking about like the best places to watch sporting events on television, how they translate. But this goes beyond that. And that is the Montreal Canadiens being in a position to win one game to get to the Stanley Cup Finals. And I've heard you, Craig. I've heard you talk about playing in that city, playing for that organization, in what it's all about. So I wanted to have you on. So thanks for doing this. I know you're pulling a little bit of double duty by coming on with us today. So I appreciate it.
No worries. I love talking about this stuff.
Listen, you started your career. You were in, let's go back. You were in the organization when they won the Stanley Cup in 1993. The last time a Canadian based team won the Stanley Cup. You weren't on the roster yet, but you were in the organization. You had just been drafted. What was it like for you in that organization at that time?
Well, it was pretty amazing for me because where I grew up in North Bay, Ontario, which is about three and a half hours straight north of Toronto, I grew up watching one of two teams. You either watch the Montreal Canadiens or you watch the Toronto Maple Leafs. It just so happened that my dad loved Bob Gainey. He loved the way he played. And I tend to watch more Montreal Canadian games. So fast forward all this time, and I get drafted in 1992 to the Montreal Canadiens, and then 1 year later, they end up winning the Stanley Cup. The atmosphere around that team and that city, it's incredible. And I just watched this team right now. And I don't think anybody out there, you'd be lying if you were to say that you would have thought that the Montreal Canadiens would be in the Stanley Cup finals. No one would predict that. I don't care who you are. But they have done some tremendous things, and they're really fun to watch right now.
So I'm a big guy on culture. I'm a big guy on standard. I think you are too. I've heard you talk about this. And I think one of the reasons you are this way is because you played there. You played in that city. What is it like to play in that organization, the culture, the standard that goes along with it?
Well, I mean, you can sit and talk about it but I don't think you can really understand what I'm going to say until you live it. And that's just the way it is. You have to understand that people in Montreal, the city of Montreal, or the province of Quebec, the only thing that they have there is hockey. There used to be a baseball team and the Astros, and they have CFL football, but to Americans that's just kind of like that's not even football. Their sport in Quebec in Montreal it's all about the Montreal Canadiens. Everything, every paper, every story. There's multiple papers there. You open a paper, and everything is about the Montreal Canadiens. Okay. The people walking, I remember walking down the street with my wife, and this was years and years and years ago when I was a young guy. I remember I was walking on St. Catharines to go to a movie with my wife. And there was a couple guys that recognized me, and they stopped me on the street, and they were really great guys, really nice guys. But they started to ask me, hey, in the third period at the 10:32 mark, you made a pass across the ice. Why did you pass across the ice when you could have went up the middle to Koivu? Because, and I'm just looking at these guys. They bleed this team. And right now, I can't, if you want atmosphere, just go to Montreal right now. And you don't even have to go to the building. You don't even have to be one of those 3,500 in the building. Just go to Montreal downtown. You will, it's something that you will be shocked to be a part of, because the partying and what's going on in Montreal right now is something special.
Okay, so are they, there's an old, we talk about Philadelphia fans, oh, they boo Santa Claus. Like, yeah, they'll give you the most amazing love in the world, but man, if you screw up or if they don't like you, they will also crush your soul. Is that what it's like in Montreal, or are they very forgiving? Like, what's the atmosphere if you're not up to their standard or you make a mistake or something like that?
Yeah, listen, you don't have to look any further than to this series. Max Pacioretty was the captain of the Montreal Canadiens. And a damn good captain, and had a lot of success there. Scored multiple 30-goal seasons in Montreal. Well, now, every single time Max Pacioretty touches the puck, he is being booed. Now, this is not just in the first 5 minutes. This is the entire game when he touches the puck. That's just the way they are. I mean, it's pretty crazy. They're extremely, extremely passionate fans. At times, it can be, the most difficult place on the planet to play. But if you're right, playing well and you're winning, there's not a better place to play.
I believe in your career, that you can correct me if I'm wrong, I think you did get to the conference. Did you get to the finals or just the semifinals? I'm looking through here. Maybe the semifinals here.
I got to the second round in Montreal couple times,
Well, what were losses like? What were losses like when you guys lost a series? What was it like in the city?
It was tough. It was hard. It's almost like that city goes into like a lull, a depression, because they're so passionate. They're so passionate about the game of hockey, and you know what? When they lose, they're in the anger phase that lasts a couple of days, and then they move into, okay, what do we need to do in the offseason to make? There's thousands of GMs in Montreal. They want to try and make that team the best it can be, and
unlike Buffalo football in a lot of ways, and I would say hockey too, but obviously the hockey team hasn't been that good, but you've seen it, you've felt it, you've lived it here in Buffalo, where you get that stadium the way it is and how they live and die on a lot of times Buffalo Bills football, but still hockey as well. But especially when the team was going to the Super Bowls and things like that, and just everything in this city was about the Buffalo Bills all the time, every day.
Well, I talk about Montreal being probably the hardest place to play, but it could be one of the best places to play, yep, too, when you're playing well. I can't imagine what those players are going through right now and the love that they're getting in that city. That being said, the Buffalo, I hated, and I mean, when I played for the Montreal Canadiens and had to come here to Buffalo, I hated playing against Buffalo. They, number one, their fans are a little screwy. They're loud. They're obnoxious. You know, the team was very difficult to play against. I remember the you know, no one has to tell me about 05, 06, and 06, 07 because I hear it from Marty and Petey every single time we talk Sabres hockey. We're talking about 05, 06. I remember those times with Briere and Drury and Dumont. Mm-hmm. And I mean, they had such a great team, but they had a physical team. They were very, very tight, just like the city of Buffalo. And, you know, I'm sure it's a great place to play when you're winning.
Craig Revay joining us on the Western Hotline. You can hear him on the Instigators today at 10 o'clock. He was a Sabres captain for about 3 years. He also played for the Montreal Canadiens for 12 years. The Canadiens have a chance tonight to get back to the Stanley Cup Finals. They are the last Canadian-based team to win the Stanley Cup all the way back in 1993. So, Craig, what does this moment, what does tonight mean for that country?
Well, it was interesting, right? You have a huge hatred and rivalry between the Montreal Canadiens and the Toronto Maple Leafs. The Toronto Maple Leafs were built to compete for the Stanley Cup and win it, okay? They have the talent. They had everything to go the distance. They were up 3-1 against the Montreal Canadiens. Montreal was dead in the water. Montreal fought back, ended up winning that series against Toronto. And what I loved about this was in the CN Tower, they put the colors of the Montreal Canadiens, the red, white, and blue, and they said, we need to cheer for our, and then Montreal went on to beat the Winnipeg Jets. And once they did that, they were the last standing Canadian team. And the Toronto city ended up putting the red, white, and blue on the CN Tower, and I thought that was pretty amazing. I thought, I'm sure it was hard to do at the decision that had to be made there, but Montreal's the last standing Canadian team, and I believe me, whether you're an Edmonton fan, Vancouver, Calgary, you name it, Ottawa, Montreal, Toronto, everybody right now, deep down inside, is cheering for that Canadian team.
We've had Canadian teams get there since then. 2011, Vancouver. 2007, Ottawa. 2006, Edmonton. 2004, Calgary. There's been plenty of Canadian teams to get there, and we knew we were going to get one team in this position because of the way the NHL was structured this year, but a team just hasn't been able to win the Stanley Cup to get there. Are those guys feeling that pressure? If you are a Canadian-based player, a player for the Montreal Canadiens, does that pressure mount because it's been so long since a Canadian-based team has won it and they've had opportunities and haven't won it in the country?
Yeah, I don't know if they have that type of pressure. First off, were they supposed to beat the Toronto Maple Leafs in the first round? The answer is no. So
no.
The pressure has fallen off since then. Every team that they've played, they've been the underdog, okay? Whether it's Toronto, whether it's Winnipeg, and now Vegas Golden Knights, they weren't supposed to win any three of those series. But they are finding ways to win hockey games. They're getting great performances from not only some old guys, when I say old guys like Corey Perry and Eric Staal, but they're getting fantastic output from Nick Suzuki, Cole Caulfield, who's come out of absolutely nowhere. And these guys are game changers. They're getting world-class goaltender from Carey Price. And they have the big four, is what I call it. Weber, Ben Chiarot, Edmondson, and Petrie. And those 4D are very big. They're very strong. They're defensive-minded. They're very physical. And they're shutting down right now all of these teams. So they're just doing a fantastic job of playing complete team hockey. They're defensive first minded, and they're breaking down these teams that have tons of offense.
We started the show today by talking about the overtime game last night, and I said to Brayton, you know, Nassau Coliseum, just it is truly the old barn, right? I mean, when you talk about old barns, you've played in a lot of old barns, Craig, and because there's been a lot of new arenas that have come in over the last 30 years, what was it like playing at Nassau and even in the Forum, like some of these old barns where it feels like everybody's kind of right on top of you?
Yeah. That barn should have been gone a long time ago. That's my thought. Those dressing rooms were disgusting. I remember I was telling Petey a story that I think it was maybe San Jose or maybe it was even Montreal that I was playing for, and we were supposed to fly into the city and play the next night. And we were told that we couldn't fly in to the city because they had a sewage issue in the room.
Oh, my.
So we had to wait an extra day, and then we flew in. And I'm thinking to myself, I was walking around the dressing room thinking that, you know, you have to see the room. Like, there's old carpets that look like they've been there for I don't even know how many years. And I was watching guys laying down on the carpets, and they're stretching in the dressing room. And I'm thinking to myself, there was just a sewage issue a day ago, and apparently it was like half a foot of sewage around all both dressing rooms that we had. Oh. And I'm thinking to myself, how did they clean it up so quickly? And why are you guys laying on the ground now? Those carpets are the 70s. Yeah, it was awful. And I'm just thinking to myself, you know, how did they not take the carpets out? That's all I could think about. I couldn't even think about the game. All I could think about is why were the carpets still down on the floor? But yeah,
just thoughts on the Islanders actually doing that last night, getting it to a game seven and what's going on in that series and, you know, an ultimate game coming up tomorrow night.
The Canadians, I mean.
No, the Islanders and Lightning, the Islanders winning and getting it to in a game seven. I'm sorry. Yes.
Watching that game last night, I thought Tampa Bay was going to absolutely roll them again. But you know what? They took their foot off the pedal, and you got a very pesky Islander team that are very team-oriented, and they just chipped away, and they scored the timely goals, and now they're back in the series. It's going to game seven, and it's a complete coin toss. You cannot tell me who's going to win that game. You've got Nikita Kucherov, one of the best players in the league, who's now injured and didn't come back to the game. Who's going to win? I'm going to go with defense. I'm going to go with the Islanders. I think
defense, I love it.
I think defense wins championships, and I think the Islanders are going to win this game against the Tampa Bay.
Love it. Bold prediction. Well, enjoy. Obviously, you guys have the Instigators. We'll hear more about it 10 o'clock right here on WGR Sports Radio 550. But I know you're going to be dialed into that game tonight. I'm going to be dialed in just for the atmosphere and watching it and the pomp and circumstance of, you know, the Canadians playing at home for a chance to go to the Stanley Cup. Craig, thanks for doing this. I know you got to be on the air at 10 o'clock, so I really appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, Al. I'm good.
Okay. That is Craig Reve, former captain of the Buffalo Sabres. I would suggest, like, tonight to watch that game, because I just think that you will. We talked earlier, Brayton and I have been on this morning talking about one of the big things we talked about today is like the arena, the place where the energy just comes to life. And I think it can be like that in Montreal. I'm not saying watch it for that reason. I think you will kind of just realize and feel the tension and the pressure and what's going along and what it means, the significance if the Canadians can do this. And again, let's go back to, There have been Canadian-based teams in the Stanley Cup Finals since they last won one, which was 1993, and most recently was 2011, and that was when the Bruins beat the Vancouver Canucks. We've also had the Senators in 07, of course, we know that, and the Oilers in 06, because we know what happened with Carolina, you know, beating Buffalo, and Ottawa beating Buffalo as well the following year. But there's been three opportunities for Canadian teams Four, Calgary. So how about this? 04, three Stanley Cups in a row, Brayton.
Here's your...
There was no season in 05.
Yeah, here is your list of teams that have made the Stanley Cup final from Canada since the Canadiens last won their Stanley Cup.
Ooh. The Canucks, and I forgot the following year after they won it. Go ahead.
Yep, the Canucks in 94, the Canucks in 2011, the Flames in 04, the Oilers in 06, and the Senators in 07. That's it.
And none of them won it. They all lost.
Nope, they all lost.
So, and I'm not, I don't know what's going to happen if the Canadiens win tonight, win game seven, if they get there and they still have to win the Stanley Cup final. But I mean, just to have that opportunity, I'm telling you, watch tonight's game. It should be something special. We're going to try and hook up with Jeremy White when we come back. He is golfing 100 holes today. We'll get an update on how he is doing there. And what else? There was something else I wanted to talk about. I got to look. What are my notes here? Oh, so a friend of mine called me last night, Brayton, and he asked me a rule that it was interesting to me. I'm like, oh yeah, I guess like somebody who doesn't really pay attention to the sport would know that. And it was kind of a basic rule, but I had to explain it to him. So I'll talk about that and ask you about maybe other rules that you weren't sure of in other sports growing up or something like that. So we'll talk about that when we come back. I'll give you my story. We'll hopefully talk with Jeremy when we come back on WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
When he first met Rennie, it was a long, long time ago, and probably 1972, probably. And I felt right away that he was coming to Buffalo with a mission and to prove that he could play in the National Hockey League and be part of a team that could do some very good things. So I think that first thing I remember about Rennie was that he was focused on being the best player he could be.
Don Luce. Great man. If you ever get a chance to talk to Don Luce, just has a great wealth of knowledge about hockey, great stories, and obviously sharing some about Rene Robert right there on the Instigators yesterday on WGR. You can go back and listen to that on demand, WGR550.com. 9:33 in the morning. Good morning to you. Maybe you're at work, maybe you're listening, getting ready for work, or just not going anywhere today and doing some stuff at home or whatever you're doing. Thanks for hanging out with us. Sal Capaccio, Brayton Wilson. Jeremy's on the golf course. Can we try and get Jeremy on? I don't know if you have him or if you can, because he is, I'm looking at his page right now, Brayton. He is less than $200 away from $6,000. Let's get him there before we get off the air here. Let's get Jeremy to $6,000 raised for the Courage of Carly Fund at Roswell Park and Live Like Luca, the Luca Kalani Foundation. Let's get him to $6,000 before we get out of here at 10 o'clock because he is $185 away from $6,000. He's already surpassed his goal, which was like $2,500. He's more than doubled that. But come on now. Now we're at a new standard here. 58-15, I'm looking on the page. Let's get him to 100. Let's get $185 more before we get him out of here, and then keep going after that. As he's on the course all day today, pretty much all night. It is the, as I pointed out yesterday, and obviously they did this on purpose. That they have it the longest day of the year, or the one of them, I should say. That was a couple of days ago. But now, with Jeremy sitting at 58.15. Jeremy, we're trying to get you the last, or not the last, but another 185 before we get you out of here, because before we get off the air, you are $185 away from 6,000.
Wow. That's pretty good.
It's amazing. Good. It's great, man.
We also had a $2,500 pledge from David Hoare yesterday, so you can toss that on top of the pile. That'll come in. So, yeah, I mean, it's really...
Oh, that's not even including that. Wow.
No, it's not even in there yet.
That's awesome. Well, let's get $6,000 for Jeremy. He's $185 away from getting to that mark. He surpassed his goal a while ago, but who cares? We're going to blow by that goal and do it. It's for the Courage of Carly Fund at Roswell Park and Live Like Luca, the Luca Kalani Foundation. Where are you now? How many rounds have you played? You have to be at least on your second round of 18.
Yes, that's right. Just teed off on hole number 29. So,
ooh, okay. Cruising. So you're actually getting on the back nine there of 18.
Yeah, had a wardrobe change. So, you know, important stuff. This is my Super Bowl when it comes to golf clothes. So it means a lot to me.
Oh, I can imagine. I don't want to be like crude or anything, but how many pairs of underwear and socks did you bring? I guess I want to ask.
A couple of each. You know, it's funny, like the guys that play this each year, last year they told me shoes and socks will be really big to change. And I found that I didn't have a problem with that last year for whatever reason. So I have backups, but so far so good. You know, just plugging along. It's beautiful out, a little windy, which by the time it gets up to like 82, I think will be nice and helpful.
Absolutely. Go to Jeremy's Twitter feed, by the way, at JeremyWGR, and you can find the links to donate to this cause. He's $185 away. Let's get him to 6,000 from 6,000. Let's get him there before we get out of here. How are you playing, man? How are you doing out there?
Not too bad. I had that birdie 3 holes in, and I haven't had another one since, which is not that big of a surprise. But the pars are starting to roll in, so that's kind of nice. Playing all right. I am consistently the worst player that they let out here, and I'm not horrible at all, but...
Dude, and you're a pretty good golfer. I mean, that's crazy.
They have some players, yeah.
Hey, how you feeling? I know you said it was your, you said, you know, you didn't want to be dramatic about it, but it was kind of like your Michael Jordan flu game. You didn't wake up feeling too well today.
No, I was pretty bad throughout the night, but feeling fine. Now I'm at the point where, like, you were talking about, Sal, 5Ks, triathlons, marathons.
Yeah.
You know, I did a triathlon, just like an Olympic distance, and the thing is to get yourself food and carbohydrates and, you know, mm-hmm. I'm honestly doing that. Like, I'm really just scarfing down granola bars to replace what I lost overnight because, you know, like I got to make it a long way. So far, the mileage count, we're about like 10 miles so far, and estimates are we'll be about 35 by the time we're done.
Who's on your bag now?
My buddy Dan McCarthy is on my bag now.
All right, Dan. Yeah, I know Dan. Good guy. Yeah, that's right. That's awesome. Good job. You got different people on your bags. Are they helping you with distance and yardage? Are you doing that yourself? Are they actually acting like a real caddy?
Well, Dan just got on the bag, so I'll have to tell him that Matt, my brother-in-law, not only did yardages, he cleaned my clubs, he raked his grass, he fixed my divots. I'm making sure he can hear this right now.
I love it. All right, man. Well, you're on hole 29. Well, good luck to you the rest of the way. Anytime you want to chime in before we get off the air, that's great. But in the meantime, I'm sure we're going to hear all about it and read all about it, and that's for a great cause. So thanks, man.
All right, thanks, Al.
All right, that is Jeremy White. He is out at Wanaka Country Club. They are playing 100 goals of golf today, walking every step of the way to raise critical funds for the Courage of Carly Fund at Roswell Park and Live Like Luca, the Luca S. Kalani Foundation. You can donate to that cause. He is $185 away right now from $6,000 raised. By the way, now he's even closer to that. He is $85. Someone gave a $100 donation as we were talking to Jeremy. He is $85 away from getting to 6,000, and let's blow past that. Great causes. So cool to see so many people giving back and doing so many great things for charities and foundations and causes that are near and dear to them throughout Western New York, and, you know, especially our friends here, WGR, our hosts, and, you know, people that you connect with and that you know that, you know, have these causes near and dear to them and want to do as much as they can. So thank you, all of you, for helping us, for helping Jeremy. That's a big number, man. $6,000. If we can get there, that's a big number for what he's doing today. So we really appreciate him joining us today. So, and while he's on the golf course, by the way, and walking it, he's going to be out there all day. So, Brayton, I said, you know, my friend called me last night. I get a call from a friend of mine in Florida last night. coaching buddy of mine from a while ago, and I see him every once in a while when I go down there. We're obviously very good friends, but we don't like talk on a regular basis. And he says, "I got a hockey question for you." He says, "I'm like, oh, okay." He says, "If a team is on a power play and the other team just clears the zone, but they shoot it down and it goes on net and the goalie has to kind of steer it away, is it a shot on goal?" And I said, "Well, no, they're not going to count that as a shot on goal. I mean, did he like fire it into the goalie, like from the blue line and try to score? Or did he just kind of clear it down the ice?" And he said, "You know, he cleared it down the ice." So I said, "No, I mean, they're not going to count that as a shot on goal." And he said, "Oh, okay, okay." And then we got to talking. And then I thought to myself, well, kind of seems like first of all, I want to make sure I was right. And then it is, you have to have the attempted shot on goal, an attempt to score, basically, that would have went in otherwise. That's how the NHL defines it. And it is a subjective call anyway. But it kind of underscored to me, like, not everybody knows what you would think would be maybe simple rules or interpretations of rules in a lot of sports. And I don't know if there's anything I could think of necessarily offhand, but the thing that came up the other day was one for me for basketball. I had no idea that when Ayton put in that bucket that is not basket interference because it came from an out-of-bounds pass. Like, I didn't know that rule, but apparently a lot of NBA people didn't know that rule either.
Yeah, it's the weird things that you think that, you know, you don't necessarily think about, I should say, and then all of a sudden it happens, and it's just like, wait.
Right.
How's that league? What's going on
in baseball
here?
By the way, baseball is a game where I think that happens more than any other sport. It seems like there's something that comes up in baseball like every year, every season, where you're like, I've never seen that before. I can't believe that actually happened. You know, I'll give you a great example. Remember the Pirates Cubs game when the Pirates had that awful play and the Cubs scored?
Yeah.
And like, it took a while for people to realize, and I think you had to realize it, but you did, that even after he scored, they could have just gone to the force out at first base, and the run wouldn't have counted.
Yep.
And there were people who thought, oh, no, he scored the run. And like, no, that's not the rule. If it's a force out at first, it doesn't matter the run scored first, right? But you have to think about it in a different context because of the way that particular play played out. You know what I mean? Yeah. I remember growing up, or not being even, look, I'll be honest. I'm really not like a big soccer fan. I'll watch like big matches, World Cup, Olympics, and that's cool. I'm not against soccer in any way. I just never grew up a fan like a lot of people have. I was very confused about soccer's offsides rule for many, many years because I grew up in watching hockey, and it's totally different than hockey. There's not like this one line you can't be. It's the player. I had no idea. Like, I'm watching soccer in my 20s, and I'm like, what do you mean offsides? Like, how do you get offsides? Like, where's the offsides line? I'm looking for the blue line. You know what I mean? I'm like, there's something drawn on the field. I didn't know. So, yeah, he called me last night and asked me, and I'm like, yeah, that's, you know, that's not a shot on goal. But, you know, if he takes it up to the blue line, he fires it at the goalie, like, because he thinks he can score, and the goalie has to steer it away, then I guess they would call that a shot on goal. But that wasn't a shot on goal. So interesting, some of the rules that you think about. Let's refresh Jeremy's page here as I'm on. I hope he got to the extra $85. He hasn't yet. Let's get Jeremy to $85 there. The extra $85 to get him to $6,000, raising money today as he plays 100 holes of golf. The other thing about baseball, unrelated, you see about this kid Wander Franco, right? You know about Wander Franco? You know who he is?
He's a prospect, right?
The best prospect in baseball, according to all the prospect rankings. And he's a Rays, and he's a switch hitter. He can play, like, tons of positions. He's amazing. It's a three-run bomb to tie the Red Sox the other night. They ultimately lost the game, but in his first major league game. Like, I'm just, when I see guys like that, I love it, but I hate it. Because I'm like, I got to deal with this guy now in the American League East. I got to already deal with Vlad Jr. I love Vlad Jr. I hate the fact he's not a Yankee. I hate even more of the fact that he's in the AL East and the Yankees have to face him. I felt the same way about Mookie Betts. I felt the same way about Xander Bogaerts. Like, these guys that come up through the Red Sox organization over the years. Like, I love Dustin Pedroia, right? He's on the team that I hate, but I loved watching him. But he wasn't some necessarily phenom like a Wander Franco. But now I'm like, come on, the Rays are already good enough. Now I got to deal with Wander Franco and playing him however many times a year. Are you kidding me? So I'm in this weird space where I don't want to hate on the kid, but I got to hate on the kid. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I mean, it is one of those,
I don't want to hate him, but he's going to be a guy I'm going to hate for the next 20 years, I think. That's what it comes down to. Or 15
right, because
he's
going to be
a
really good player, and he's just going to be in the division for the foreseeable future.
I will not force myself to hate Vlad Guerrero Jr. I just can't. But I am going to despise every time he gets a big hit against the Yankees, and it's going to be, he's going to have a lot of those. I'm rooting for him. I really do. I love Vlad. I loved his dad, man. I loved watching Vlad Sr. No batting gloves, could hit the ball off his shoe tops, you know, 450 feet. He was just incredible.
I mean, Vlad Guerrero was a guy Vlad Guerrero was a guy that could hit a ball after it bounced on the ground and hit it out in the outfield for
it's
a double.
Amazing.
He did that.
He was amazing. Yeah. Yes. He could hit it anywhere. He had this reach. He had these long arms. He had this reach, this huge bat. And he didn't matter where the ball was. He was a big dude. And you're right. Like, he was famous for hitting, like, these low balls that you thought were barely off the ground or touched the ground. And he didn't care, man. He did not care. And he just, and he took it out, you know. So, and he played for the Expos, by the way. Montreal in the Stanley Cup Game 6 tonight. We talked about that. Craig said, you know, they used to have the Expos there. It's only the Canadians, and I miss the Expos. I kind of do miss the Expos. Remember when the Rays were going to divide time between Montreal and Tampa? That was a story for a hot minute, like last year, pre-COVID or something.
What a dumb
idea. That was kind of weird. All right, we're going to take a timeout here. We'll give you an update on where Jeremy stands. We're hoping to get him to 6,000. In fact, I got to be honest with you, he's there. Good news. You guys did it. You listeners did it. People who might not be listening did it. People did it. They got Jeremy past 6,000. Next stop, 6,500. He's at 6,250 now. But we'll come back. We'll wrap things up on WGR, and we'll head you off to Instigators at 10 a.m.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
All right, well, we congratulate Jeremy on a successful, campaign to raise funds for his 100 holes of golf and getting to over the $6,000 mark, which is great. And again, 100 holes, he's playing right now out at Wanaka. He's at 6,250, plus the 2,500 is going to come in. Really, 10,000 should be the next goal considering that. You add on the 2,500, we're talking he's a little over $2,000 away from 10,000 now, which is amazing to raise critical funds for the Courage of Carly Fund at Roswell Park and the Live Like Luca Foundation, Luca Kalani Foundation. And Jeremy is going to be off tomorrow, but Howard will be in, and I will be in with Howard tomorrow. So Brayton will be here. I'll be here. I think you'll be here, right? I shouldn't speak for you, Brayton.
Yeah, I'll be here in some capacity.
So that'll be Howard and me tomorrow here. All right, anything you have in extendo? I got something I want to touch on real quick, but if you have anything important you want to say, or did we leave anything out that we need to say or anything like that?
This is all you, man. Have at it.
All right, well, I appreciate it. No, thanks for hanging out with me today. Thanks for hanging out with Brayton and I. I have a podcast. It's called Sal Sports and Stuff. Shameless plug, but I hope you can check it out. This time of year, I'm not doing them as frequently, but part of that is because I'm on the air a lot, and when I'm not on the air, I'm trying to do the podcast. And we talk Bills, I talk Bills, some other stuff. But this week I did one and talked about, wrapping up mini camp, talked about, the situation with, training camp, and the Bills are going to hold it, at Orchard Park, in Orchard Park at One Bills Drive. The Steelers, interestingly enough, have been denied training camp at St. Vincent College in Latrobe, PA. They had to issue a statement. They wanted to do it there, but because of COVID-19 protocols, they've been denied, actually, which is interesting. So that's an interesting story to stay on top of and see. But, the story's over, but they said they're going to have it. It's going to look just like Bills camp, essentially, whereas They're going to have it at their complex, their practice complex, and at Heinz Stadium. And then they said, we don't really have the room to host fans at the practice complex, so we'll have some practices inside the stadium at Heinz Field. So it's the same as the Bills. The Bills are doing that too. They don't have the fans and the accommodations for the fans at the AdPro Sports Training Center and outside, so they're going to try and have some practice, and they will have some practices inside Highmark Stadium to welcome fans in. So go find that. I retweeted one of the Steelers beat writers, but also the statement from the Steelers at Sal Sports on Twitter. You can find that. Also in the podcast, Brayton, I talked about airports. I got to tell you, I want you to listen to the podcast. I don't want to ruin it. I get more in detail, but I don't know how much you've traveled, you know, how, especially recently. I love airports for some reason. I've just kind of fallen in love with the way airports have kind of grown and these living spaces they've created. And every time I go to an airport, like a big airport, I'm like super impressed with all the different things and ways that you can kind of just hang out. I could go to an airport and hang out for hours. I don't know if you could. And I don't know if you ever even thought about it. Now, granted, Brayton, I don't want to live there. Like, I got to be able to leave. And I don't want to pay airport pricing. But if you go to a big airport like Newark or Atlanta or JFK, Tampa, you go to a lot of the bigger airports, you can basically just live. And it's got to become a living space to do your job and get online and watch movies and watch sporting events and eat and drink. And then there's the hanging out with people and meeting new people aspect of it. So I talk about it on the podcast. Go check it out. But yeah, I'm digging airports lately, man. I've gone traveling a couple of times. I guess I'm not going to say post-COVID, but, you know, since we've been, you know, the last several months or so. And, you know, airports to me were always, okay, pretty cool. There's some nice ones and some not so nice ones, but let's get in and let's get out. I want to get to an airport early now. I want to hang out. I want to hang out at the airport.
Last minute of play in the show.
Yeah, I'm making a couple of trips later on this year. I'm going to Myrtle Beach in October. Ooh. And then I'll be going to Hawaii in December.
Oh, dude, that's good for you. Good for you. Yeah. I've been to Hawaii
yeah,
once.
So,
it's amazing.
No, I'll be getting to airports again here soon. The biggest airport I've been to probably is either Toronto or Where was I for this most recent trip that I was on?
Do you know where
Orlando,
your layovers are?
Yeah.
Okay, where are you going through? Are you going to LA, LAX to go to Hawaii?
We haven't necessarily made those plans yet, but I mean, my wife and I are flying into Charleston when we go to the Myrtle Beach there.
Oh, okay. Well, you're probably going to be at a big airport, and I'm telling you, like, enjoy it, man. Like literally, like, look around and say, I can do kind of whatever I want here and go wherever I want to eat and watch whatever I need to. It really, they become these cool living spaces, if you will, and people just relaxing and lounges. So anyway, talk about airports on the podcast as well. Maybe people have thoughts on airports they can share. Thanks for tuning in today. We are going to be back tomorrow, like I said, with Howard back, and we'll get an update on Jeremy on social media and maybe on the show as far as his golf and how that went. So Instigators are up next on WGR.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.